The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
With the news of the day, and somehow if you are just getting off work, it was made official earlier this morning that Brian Kelly is the new coach at LSU. $95 million contract. He is on the ground there. He has just landed at Baton Rouge Airport and will be formally introduced tomorrow afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. And Steve is in Kentucky. Hello, Steve.
Hey, boss, man. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good, boss, man. I wanted to echo what that guy said at Ohio First. Two things. Number one, about CFP. You know, I'm going to tell you what your final poll is going to be before it even comes out. It's going to be the 1-2-3-5, 1-2-3-6. Because ESPN controls it, CFP. That's why nobody can define what their – even Tebow says they can't define what their perimeters are. Because it's going to be the four biggest fan bases. Cincinnati's a small market team. You can say, well, they ain't played nobody. Look, Alabama got in when they were 68th in strength of schedule. So if you're undefeated, you're undefeated. But I love your show. I watch it every day. And, you know, I don't want to give you a hard time because you're a good person, a good human being. But I will say this. Everybody knows what the final CFP poll is going to be. All right, brother. You have a good day, Bob.
Thank you, Steve. Brenda is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yes, I was just calling to say that I really like the Brian Kelly pick. I think he's going to be good for LSU. And I think he's going to bring maybe a little bit more stabilized team than we've had in the past in coaching. And one other thing. Is that, do you think that since Arch Manning hasn't committed that he'll be re-looking at LSU now?
I think it's possible. There's always been this feeling about the Manning family and LSU. It's amazing when you consider Archie Manning grew up in Mississippi and went to Ole Miss, but Peyton and Eli grew up in New Orleans and went to Ole Miss in Tennessee. But I think it all depends on who Brian Kelly's offensive coordinator is. And by the way, Arch still has a little bit of time before he has to make up his mind. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Scott is in Indiana. Hello, Scott.
Good evening, Paul. How are you doing this afternoon?
Quite well. Thank you.
Good. Just a Notre Dame fan here. I go to quite a few games, quite a few years. Personally, myself, of course, I'm a little distraught by the situation. I understand that Brian Kelly is up for the challenge and wants to – the SEC challenge and thinks he's done enough at Notre Dame. Personally, myself, though, you know, he's got the team for the next 2 years, not saying that they would have made the playoffs at all or even got a New Year's Bowl sixth game. But the talent that he has coming in the next 2 years with the recruiting class, I believe it's number five and number three for the next 2 years, how he would just give up on that. I get the money situation. Don't get me wrong. I totally understand that. When Notre Dame pays basically $5 million a year to almost what? $9.5 million a year.
Yeah, you're doubling your salary now. Now, Scott, let's all be honest here. $5 million, $9 million, it all sounds the same to most of us. But you know, he's at an age where he's going, you know what, I can add X number of dollars to my rainy day fund. And 12 years is a long time. To encounter Notre Dame pressure.
12 years is a definitely long time. You know, in his mind, I'm sure, you know, when he beat Rocky's record and everything else, what else more could he do? First of all, I'd like to see him get that national championship. I hope the guy the best of luck. I just personally think in the SEC, with the challenges coming up with him recruiting against Alabama, all those other teams, with Texas and Oklahoma coming in, they're going to get this straight. I wish him the best of luck, but I really just don't see within the next 3 to 4 years that he wins a national championship with LSU.
Scott, that's really the problem for him, if there is a problem. Probably isn't, really, when you consider the money. But you know, it's national championship or bust. Going 10-2 is not going to satisfy him because he was already doing that at Notre Dame. And so he's gambling. I'm sure he had this conversation with his agent and his wife going, if they're willing to offer me the money, I'm willing to step up to the plate. Shannon is calling next in Georgia. Hello, Shannon.
Paul, do you mean the best legend can come up with in his assessment of the game Saturday is that Stetson Bennett's 5'11 and Bryce Young is 6 foot tall, and therefore Alabama is going to beat Georgia? That's the best the legend can come up with?
It seems that way.
Paul, I watched Arkansas give Alabama everything they wanted and more. I watched Alabama struggle to a 4-overtime, 2-point win against a 6-5 Auburn team. And the best that man who's supposed to be a legend on your show can come up with is Stetson Bennett short, and he can't beat Alabama. I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday, Paul, but is it going to be because Stetson Bennett's a bit short than Bryce Young? I promise you that.
No, I don't think so. And by the way, Bryce Young is not exactly 7 feet tall either.
Paul, he's listed on 24/7 as 5'11". He's listed in Alabama's roster as 6 foot. Paul, these legacy callers that call your show from back in the old days, brother, I don't know that they're bringing that much to the table. It's a lot of a character assassination and who's an idiot and who's smarter than who. And brother, I want to hear football talk. You know, the Paul Feinbaum show focuses on Southeastern Conference athletics, football in particular, correct?
You've described it well, Shannon.
And did Legend play at Alabama? Did he letter at Alabama?
No, he did not.
What's all this we stuff? Does he speak French? Is that a required course in Alabama that we speak French? Is that where the we comes from? He's up in the ring. And if he's up in the ring,
we,
brother, I ain't too worried about what's going to happen on Saturday.
To me, Legend is walking a very dangerous tightrope right now. And if Alabama wins, then we all know what he will say Monday. But if they don't, he'll probably be firing the coaches again.
Here's what it comes down to on Saturday night, and I'm not an expert, but it's going to come down to Georgia's ability to stop big play. He is right in the fact that Mechie and the other receiver are deep threats at any moment, and it's going to come down to Georgia's ability to stop the big play. Other than that, I'm not sure there's going to be much else to offer on that point. But I just can't believe that the guy that's the legend on the show can come up with nothing better than Stetson Bennett's too short.
Thank you, Shad. I don't know why I'm laughing, but I am. I'm sorry. Pete is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, and I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you. It was great.
Great. What I wanted to just mention, and I don't know if someone else has already mentioned this, is the way the boosters at OU are treating Lincoln Riley. They're calling him a traitor. They're saying that he insinuated he wasn't going anywhere. And then he turned around and left us high and dry. Isn't it the same thing that OU and Texas did to the Big 12? And when the other members of the Big 12.
Well, not quite. I mean, OU said we are leaving, but they didn't leave. They at least said they gave us a 3 or 4 year notice.
Yeah, but they created a whole lot of trouble.
They did. They did
for everybody. And I think both schools right now are getting what they deserve, and I hope it continues. So, but anyway, thanks. I just love it that the OU fans are now getting a taste of their own.
Well, everyone in college football, or at least most everyone, has gone through this at some point, and I've heard it over the years, and it's usually the same. How could they do this to us? But these coaches are mercenaries. I say that, and people get mad and say, "Well, they're great," but they're out for themselves. And I think Brian Kelly showed that yesterday, and Lincoln did the day before, and there'll be a few more who do it in the coming days. I mean, some may handle the departure better than others, but there's no good way to leave. You're walking out. You're getting a divorce from a place that has supported you, especially Notre Dame and Oklahoma. You're going someplace that's giving you a better opportunity and offering you significantly more money. We will take a break. Bruce Feldman, about this time yesterday, broke the story that Brian Kelly was the target of LSU. Today, he's in Baton Rouge as the head coach.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome all of you back. Great to have you with us here on what has been quite an afternoon. It was around this moment yesterday when we were reading some tweets from The Athletic and Bruce Feldman about what could be going on between Baton Rouge and Brian Kelly. Some people speculated maybe it was a leverage play. Well, today Brian Kelly is in Baton Rouge, and it's official. He's the new LSU coach. Bruce, thanks for the time. Really an amazing day as we were watching some video of Brian Kelly getting off the plane in Baton Rouge. This thing did not take very long. Tell us how it all came about.
It's pretty crazy, Paul, because, I mean, on one hand, we started hearing a lot of rumblings from sources about Scott Woodward. You know, on one hand, I think the first thing I heard was from somebody, Scott Woodward has his guy. Another person and then said they're going really hard after Brian Kelly. And then started to get more momentum. And then talking to my colleagues, Brody Miller, who covers LSU, and Pete Sampson, who covers Notre Dame, we're all hearing similar things, but from different sources. And honestly, you know, and I'm heading out to USC for the Lincoln Riley press conference. I'm still thinking this feels like a leverage move, and it feels like something that he doesn't want to do. But it's like you knew if you been reporting on Notre Dame or Brian Kelly for a while, you knew there were frustrations with him, not necessarily with the administration per se, but just how everything seems to be a battle there. And there were things that he had pushed for that either weren't happening fast enough or weren't happening. And so as things went on, it was just like I kept on thinking, okay, this is going to come to a head and Notre Dame is going to step up, because it's like, you know, he's 60 years old. Do you think he's going to make a big jump now to someplace else, especially into the SEC, which is a much different dynamic at Baton Rouge than what he's had in South Bend, and he's been there for a while. So as it got further along, especially from what, you know, the conversations we were all hearing, it just was like, wow, it may be getting to this point. I'll be honest, even talking to some Notre Dame assistants some of them were really in the dark on this, even though Brian Kelly is their coach. Some of them, you know, were around them, just were like kind of perplexed that it actually got to this point. So just seeing him get off the plane was a little bit surreal, and seeing, you know, going to see him in the building and the different pictures of Brian Kelly. so long at Notre Dame. And to be the head coach of Notre Dame for a dozen years feels like to be a head coach someplace else for like 25, just because Notre Dame seems to be dog years. So it's a pretty pretty amazing 48 hours when you put that and the Lincoln Riley move together in college football.
Yeah, Bruce, I mean, combined, and we're so used to dizzying things happening, especially after this weekend of college football, but have you ever seen a 48-hour stretch like this?
Not that I can remember. The crazy thing for me with both of these individually, the crazy thing for me with Lincoln was, you know, I felt like I had spent 2 weeks shooting down reports that Lincoln Riley was going to be the guy at LSU, because that's what I had heard, he wasn't going there. And then the next morning, I'm being told Lincoln Riley seriously considering USC, and I was like, "What?" Because I thought the only place he would go leave OU for was the NFL. The Brian Kelly part that I think I had the hardest time, and honestly still do to some extent, I have the hardest time wrapping my head around, is Notre Dame is not out of the playoff consideration. You know, it basically means if Georgia beats Alabama, which at this point would not be a shock considering how good Georgia's been, and maybe if there's one other thing that happens, whether it's Michigan getting knocked off in the Big Ten title, or Oklahoma State losing to Baylor, or even Cincinnati losing to Houston. Not all those things, just a couple of them. Notre Dame is in the playoff. And the idea that the head coach at Notre Dame would leave when that's still out there is just a head-scratcher to me because, you know, listen, we hear all the time about coaches preaching all in and finish and all these things, and just the idea that if somehow Notre Dame makes the playoff and the head coach who got him there or helped get him there isn't there to coach it, it's just kind of a crazy twist on it all. And quite honestly, I have no idea what's going to come out of the CFP rankings tonight, but I'm curious as from a question for the committee is, do they at all value Notre Dame any differently if the coach who coached them to an 11-1 record is not their coach anymore? I mean, is that something they've discussed? It's just a weird dynamic that I didn't think we'd get to, but here we are.
Bruce, in terms of what pushed Brian Kelly out the door, it seems like winning a national championship is high on that list. What else do you think could it have been, or was that it?
I think that's probably the biggest, first and foremost, was that. He got them into the playoff. It seemed like they honestly were closer, but they didn't seem like they were that close. When they get into these games, they get whipped. Obviously, the last three head coaches at LSU have all won national titles. I mean, that's the expectation. You know, when somebody said to me, you know, and he's done a really good job everywhere he's been, all over the place, but no place obviously like the SEC or the SEC West. But, you know, somebody I talked to, another coach, had said, you know, I think he'll do well there. And my answer is like, what is well, though? You know, well at LSU right now means you better win at least one national title and maybe more, you know, if you have a 10-year deal. So it is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, because it's not like the SEC has gotten any easier, you know, at this point. So I think he's a really good football coach. There is definitely that. And so the part of that, you know, with the resources, and LSU is all committed to playing football at the highest level, which means trying to do the things that Alabama does for Nick Saban, or Florida, or Texas A&M does for Jimbo Fisher, or, you know, you name it, Kirby does, you know, Georgia does for Kirby. At Notre Dame, fair or unfair, they don't operate in the same way. In a lot of ways, I think Notre Dame folks take pride in that, but at the same point, if you're the head football coach trying to win championships against these other people in the playoff, you know, I could see how that could be exhausting.
Bruce, how complicated is Jack Swarbrick's search, considering that Luke Fickell may be on his short list? And he mentioned Brian Kelly in Notre Dame. Fickell's more involved in the CFP than anyone at this point, short of Jim Harbaugh and Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I think if you're Jack Swarbrick, you have to sit down and think about this. Do I believe Luke Fickell is by far the best guy for this job? And if I believe it, then I feel like I probably have to wait. And what does that mean till the end of the playoff? It means you're probably going to take a hit in the early signing period, and you may lose some guys in the portal. But, you know, from hearing from people around Notre Dame, they do feel like Notre Dame is kind of a different dynamic than a lot of other places, where more so than other places. Not to say the coach doesn't matter, but they're probably the players are more inclined and see what happens. Now, if they don't think Luke Fickell is definitely the guy clear and above the other ones, Matt Campbell is sitting right there for you. He's a Midwest guy. He's a proven, you know, big-time coach. He's a three-time Big 12 Coach of the Year. Look, he beat Lincoln Riley, a couple of times with an Iowa State roster. I mean, I think that would be a really good hire for Notre Dame, and they could probably get him pretty soon if they want to go that direction. We'll see what Swarbrick wants to do, because I don't know how you try to hire Luke Fickell and ask him to leave when they spent basically 4 years to get to this moment. And then I just don't see him saying, yeah, I'm gonna accept the Notre Dame job, but I'm gonna still coach over here. I just don't think that that's in line with everything we've heard about how Luke Fickell operates.
Meanwhile, Bruce, what is happening in Norman, Oklahoma right now?
There's definitely some panic, Paul. I mean, obviously, OU has had a lot of great coaches and players over the year, but I think why they're reeling is Lincoln Riley left. I think they were scrambling on Sunday morning when it started to sink in. He's leaving. He's taking a bunch of key assistants, the defensive coordinator, the receivers coach, his run game guy, who's critical to what he does, strength coach. Like, those guys are going to be at SC. Now, the thing that I think probably has even the more of the fan base reeling is this. You have a situation because of the transfer portal where a lot of guys can leave. We already know Spencer Rattler's in there. Does Caleb Williams look and go, hey, that's the coach I wanted to play for. He's gotten Heisman winners and first pick of the draft. I'm going to go follow him to USC. Then there's this other part where they had a loaded class of 2023 commits. Almost all of them have decommitted. And a lot of those kids are Southern California kids. So it's a pretty easy guess where a bunch of those guys are going to end up committing to soon. So I think that has created a panic around OU. I think Joe Castiglione, does he go hire Matt Campbell still out there? We know he can coach in the Big 12. Does he try to hire Lane? Does he try to hire Mike Leach? We know Barry Switzer loves Mike Leach and would love to bring Mike Leach back there. I mean, then the other side of it is Castiglione has hired really two football coaches. Neither guy was a head coach before they were hired. That's Lincoln Riley or Bob Stoops. Does he try to hire Mike Elko from Texas A&M, or does he look for Brent Venables, who used to be there as on the Stoops staff and has now done a really good job at Clemson? I mean, that's an interesting hiring process, too, because I would not be surprised if they hired a first-time head coach.
Incredible. Bruce, do you see anything? I mean, I know this is a loaded question because we don't know which moves are going to be made, but is there another big move out there other than maybe Luke Fickell leaving or Matt Campbell leaving?
You know, the one that I think people have speculated on a lot and things have cooled a little bit on it is Manny Diaz's situation at Miami. What you have is a school there without an AD. I think you have a dream target for a lot of people around Miami and Mario Cristobal, a former player and coach who's from there and has done really well. And that guy's now coaching in a Pac-12 title game this weekend. So I think there still might be a few dominoes left, but I think once you see some of these other jobs getting filled, it's only going to create more vacancies around. And as we've talked about, Paul, there's just not enough proven coaches to fill them. And I think that's where it's gotten so chaotic. We'll throw that in with an early signing period, and I think that's why we've gotten a really volatile coaching market.
Absolutely great stuff from Bruce Feldman, who has been all over this story from the beginning. Bruce, many, many thanks. Great to have you on.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
Wow. He laid it out pretty well. And we are going to head to the break. We'll have a few more guests before we head out. Don't forget tomorrow. It all happens officially with the introduction of Brian Kelly at LSU. Still hard to wrap my arms around that, but it's official. We will take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Let's check in with Daryl next. Good afternoon, Daryl.
Hey, Paul. First of all, I want to congratulate you on making the Google's logo. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but they got your mugshot out there on Google.
I did see that.
Part of their logo. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, I don't understand why coaches have to leave like Brian Kelly. Why can't they just finish out the season and then go? I mean, what's the big deal on leaving now?
Why do you have to go now? Because he has to recruit.
Yeah, well, I understand that. But if I'm a player and you're recruiting me and you're trying to – I'm not going to buy into what you're trying to sell because I'm going to think you just walked out on your team. You walked out on your team with one loss, still outside – a long shot, but still an outside shot to make the 14 playoffs. But you just walked out.
Well, yeah, but you have to remember something, Daryl. They don't want him there anymore. He's now recruiting the same players. He's bringing coaches. So this is not the old days where you could do it, and it has been done before, but not in a long time. And even when assistants do it, remember Kirby took the Georgia job and stayed at Alabama. There was a lot of tension there because there were accusations that Kirby was stealing the recruiting board. So it's the separation is better, I'm telling you.
Well, that might be true, but I mean, look here. What has Brian Kelly done anyway at Notre Dame? I mean, in the big games, what has he done? I mean, I cannot understand how LSU.
Well, last year he beat the number one. He beat the number one team in the country last year.
He would not. Yeah, and he got beat by Cincinnati this year. Okay. Number 58 offense in the country, like number 29 defense. I mean, I don't see it. Hey, what do you think about Mark Stoops maybe at Oklahoma? You think that's a possibility?
I think it's unlikely, considering it looks like he's agreed to an extension. Until you sign it, it doesn't matter what you've agreed to, but I don't think he's going.
All right, I got a couple more things for you real quick. Let's say Cincinnati loses their conference championship game. They'll have one loss. But if that happens, okay, even if Georgia beats Alabama and that happens, would you think a two-loss team like Ohio State or Alabama would get in over Cincinnati with one loss?
Yes, I do.
I do too. I think that's a possibility. I think the only chance Cincinnati has is they need Georgia – that Georgia has to beat Alabama for them to get in. That's the only way. Oklahoma State's probably going to get in. Michigan's definitely probably going to get in. And then Georgia, I think, is a lock. And then, you know, either Alabama or Cincinnati. And one last thing, okay? I want to remind Legend of one thing, okay? Legend, we got a backup quarterback that's just as good, okay? I mean, that knows the playbook. So you keep hating on Stetson Bennett all you want. He had you beat last time at halftime. It will not come down to Stetson Bennett. This is what's going to decide this football game. What's going to decide this game is – Your team has cost us two national championships. Your team has beat us six times in a row. Your team is the one that we have been waiting on, okay? This is the game right here, Legend. That's what it's going to come down to. These boys are going to show up in Georgia, okay? Kirby Smart, I guarantee you, they will be ready, all right? And, Legend, you ain't going to be able to do anything with that defensive line. That defense is nasty. See you, Paul.
JD is up next. Hello, JD. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, were you one of those people that actually thought South Carolina was going to beat Clemson on Saturday?
No.
Okay, good, because I feel like all the people that thought that, they were either Carolina fans or they just worked for SEC Network.
Well, I was on a show Saturday morning and of our group. There was only one person to pick South Carolina over Clemson.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've heard a lot of talk about Georgia and Bama on the show. I just want to say, as a big Clemson fan, I can say that Georgia defense, they are nasty. Bama better watch out because they're going to get – it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good on Saturday.
Well, I am glad to hear that. I was worried. Marcia is in Tennessee. Hello, Marcia. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I am doing better than I deserve.
Well, I just called to share with you that I'm just super duper excited about Josh Heupel and what he's bringing to Tennessee. I'm just real excited. So I just wanted to tell those Georgia fans and those Bammers out there, you know what? Get ready. We're coming for you. And we're bringing them.
I like to hear that, Martha. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Ricky is up next. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Mr. Paul.
Hey,
first time caller here. How are you doing?
I am well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I've enjoyed your show for many years. I just have one comment to make. I've heard a lot of people talking, you know, about the championship game this weekend. And it just seems like Alabama, everybody wants Alabama to just save their time and save their fuel and not even travel to Atlanta. But we have all seen Alabama teams that have issues like we have this year. Of course, we have Brian Robinson hurt. We've all seen the Alabama teams that have had issues win big games. And I just want to know your take on that, sir.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, you would be broke betting against Nick Saban. Although lately, you might have been broke betting with Alabama. But we're talking about winning a game, not carrying the spread. So Saban's done the unthinkable. He wins all of these type of games. But this may be his most difficult. We'll talk more about it Friday when we get to Atlanta. We are going to take a break right now.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hello, David.
Hello.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
All right. I'm glad we're keeping Mark Spencer in Bluegrass. And I'm a Wildcat fan, but I love the SEC. I respect everything. I mean, you got to respect Nick Saban for everything he's accomplished at Alabama, but the way they couldn't pull us up on the board against Auburn, there's no way they're going to score on that Georgia defense. So I am predicting a shutout.
Wow, that would be quite a revelation. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We'll try Luke one more time. Luke, are you there now?
Yes.
Well, great. Well, Luke, Luke, before you start, how old are you?
I'm 7.
You're 7. Well, that's a good age.
Thank you.
What's on your mind tonight, Luke?
I was just wondering if Alabama's offensive line could hold Georgia's defensive line.
In watching the Auburn game, you'd have to be a little bit concerned about the Alabama offensive line, especially with the uncertainty of Brian Robinson, their best running back. He is banged up, and if he's not 100%, I think that really puts them in a tough spot. You a Georgia fan?
Yes, sir, I am, and I'm going to the SEC Championship.
Well, I hope to meet you there, Luke. It would be my honor to meet a young man like you. Thank you, Luke. You take care of yourself. Josh is up next, also in Georgia. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to come on here and set the record straight now. There's a lot of these Georgia fans coming on here talking about how it's just going to be a shutout. And this, that, and the other. But what they fail to realize is Alabama's won this thing several times with one loss.
Oh, yeah.
And I do believe that this will be the best offense and the best defense that Georgia has faced all year. Georgia is known for not winning the big game, and that's going to happen again, and you're going to see it when the tide rolls in Atlanta.
Well, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Tonman is calling from Alabama. Hello, Tonman.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for what you do, football, Paul.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you, Paul, if this hire at LSU, I'm sitting in front of the TV right now and watching individual after individual sports writer talk about the hire, and I don't see a leak. stuff coming out of that other than it's a dick and a bad guy.
Is that a, by the way, is that a real dog there?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, I just wondered if it was one of those, like, noise effects.
No, sir.
Okay, well, good.
If Brian Kelly, I just can't, I don't understand that at LSU.
I have to call you out. I think that was really Daryl in the background. Let's talk to John in Tennessee. Hello, John. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I love your show. First-time caller. I watch you all the time. I just wanted to go back to this legend character and remind him of what Mark Twain said. Mark Twain said it's better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you're a fool than to open and remove all doubt.
That is a
great
line.
That's all I have to say. I'm dropping the mic.
Yeah, well, you should. That was fantastic. Oh, man, legend has set himself up for a potential tough Monday. Let's continue and talk to a smart Alabama fan, not a loudmouth. Joe is up next in Red Bay, Alabama.
How's it going, Paul Feinbaum?
Joe, great. Thank you.
I'm doing good. I've been sitting on the porch with my ex-brother-in-law. I mean, he's a good friend of mine. Hey, well, one thing we have in common is we both don't like your sister. So,
that's pretty funny.
Well, I mean, she comes over to his place and eats all his turkey and stuff. And
You're closer to your ex-brother-in-law than to your own sister. I know this sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy joke, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, hey, that's life in the South. It's life in the South. But anyway, these Georgia fans are pretty much delusional, Paul. I mean, they're illusional. I mean, what makes them think they're going to beat Alabama? They ain't been able to beat us since, what, 2005 or 2006, 2007, something like that.
Hey, Joe, you're a smart football guy. Tell me this, because I'm curious. I pick Alabama all the time. I've made a living picking Alabama. But without a healthy running back, how does Alabama neutralize that Georgia defensive line?
Paul, you know how you neutralize a defensive line. You already know the answer to this yourself.
I just want to hear it from you.
Well, you know, we beat Auburn without a – you know how we beat Auburn without a running game? We waited too late.
Joe, I didn't ask you about how you beat Auburn. I saw the game. I'm curious how you're going to beat Georgia.
Well, I mean, they got one big dude. His name's Davis. I think they called him Davis. David. You know,
they have more than one big dude. They have like 15 big dudes.
Well, we'll double team them all. I mean,
seven in particular that I'm thinking of right now.
Well, you know,
it's called the best front seven in football. I know you're probably familiar with that because Alabama used to have the best front seven.
We still do, but you got to look at it. You got to look at it like this, Paul. We don't play the same teams. I mean, if we played SEC East, we would probably have the best front seven.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the call. It's pretty funny. LSU just tweeted out a picture of Brian Kelly meeting the team. And his opening line was, "My name is Brian Kelly. I'm your new head football coach." Raise your hand if you believe that would be the case 24 hours ago. Let's take a break.